The Tarncast, Tarncast. 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 It's the Tarncast, Tarncast. This is the Tarncast. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Tarncast. This is very special guest, Todd Robert Anderson. No host this week. It's very difficult to get people to host a podcast that means nothing this time of year. It's the holiday season. People are getting their, their shit together. I had a little burp. I just had lunch. The fettuccine came back on me. Oh, man. I'm going to wash it down. Oh, much better. Oh, indigestion. Whew. Another big part of the holiday season. So a lot of people are busy. I had some near hosts who got caught up at work because, you know, the workload gets bigger before the holiday. End of the year, blah, 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 tying up loose ends, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, the last couple episodes of the Tarncast this year will probably just be me. That's fine. That's marvelous. I couldn't be happier about that. I love just talking without somebody getting in the way of me talking. So as is my annual tradition that no one gives a shit about, on the Tarncast, I break out the Entertainment Weekly with the best and worst, lists. I respond to Entertainment Weekly's, choices. So I got the best and worst of 2014 with Jimmy Fallon on the cover. Entertainment Weekly loves Jimmy Fallon. I think that's great. Jimmy Fallon's doing great. I couldn't be happier about that. I think it's great when people do well. So the first list that Entertainment Weekly has is 2014's criminally underrated must list. So this is 10 things that are underrated. Number one is The Edge of Tomorrow, which is a movie, with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. It's a sci-fi Groundhog Day picture. It's very actiony. It's very exciting. I entirely agree. And it's bizarre. I think the main reason this movie bombed is, Tom Cruise, the goodwill on Tom Cruise with audiences kind of ran out because he, after the fourth Mission Impossible, which was a lot of fun, a few clunkers and a couple of them were science fiction. So after Oblivion and shit like that, people were like, no, I'm not going to see Edge of Tomorrow. It sounds stupid, you know, which is too bad because it's great. And the filmmakers and Emily Blunt especially is amazing in this movie. So, yeah, Edge of Tomorrow. Totally agree. That's a great one to have on your list, Entertainment Weekly. Number two is You're the Worst. That's a show on FX. It's a comedy show. It's created by Stephen Falk, one of my closest friends and one of the film pigs. He got me on the show. I had to audition. It wasn't that easy. I agree. I agree with Entertainment Weekly. More people should watch You're the Worst. It's fucking hilarious. It's a great show. Why aren't you watching that show? Watch it. If you go to iTunes and download it, get it on your on-demand, watch it. It's hilarious. It's a great show. I totally agree with Entertainment Weekly on that. Okay, what's number three here? Having a beverage. It's got a little kick to it. It's good. It's really good. Number three, Red Rising by Pierce Brown. That's a book. It's compared to, The Hunger Games. You know what I don't care for? The Hunger Games. But I'm sure Red Rising is great. I'm not going to read it. Borgman is a Dutch movie. Haven't seen it. It's Dutch. It's called Borgman. So I haven't seen that. I don't have access to Dutch things. Number five, Good Kisser by Usher. It's R&B. Kids love R&B and hip hop. I haven't heard the song. Haven't heard it. Guys, I gotta sneeze. I'm, oh, it's so close. So close, but it didn't come. Sneezy. Number six is The Affair. Slow burn Showtime show, with some, good actors. I don't have Showtime, so I haven't seen it, but I'm sure it's great. Evergreen Broods. So that this is a band of some kind. Sure. I don't listen to the radio, so I haven't heard that song, but I'm sure it's great. Number eight is You Can't Take It With You, which is a Broadway revival of a classic, play. Has James Earl Jones and Rose Byrne. Great. I'm not a fan of Broadway revivals on any level. I like original, like, I don't understand seeing a play you've seen 1,000 times before, that's been produced 1,000 times before. I mean, it's great. I'm sure it's great. But I don't, that's why I haven't seen it. I don't care. Letters and Note by Sean Usher. It's a coffee table book. But great for poring over, I guess. It's correspondences between famous historical figures to other people. Yeah, sure, that sounds interesting. I haven't read it, but if someone got that for me, like as a gift, Christmas gift, I'd put it on my toilet. I'd have it on my toilet. It could be my toilet book. So send that to me. And number 10 on this list is The Comeback. Was the Lisa Kudrow show, and she had this show on HBO, and it didn't do well in the numbers, so it didn't, I think it only had one season, and it's been a long time since, and now it's back, and people really like it. I don't have HBO, or whatever. Is it on HBO still? I don't know. It's, yeah, it's on HBO. I don't have HBO, so what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I haven't seen it. I'm sure it's great. I actually auditioned for the original season of it, and Lisa Kudrow looked at me like I was an asshole. And I actually had like a hat with a silly thing on it, like Judah Friedlander, but that was before Judah Friedlander and 30 Rock that I auditioned for that. So I just want to say I had that idea too. I had that idea, and I was looked at like a jerk, but then it became a thing. Maybe if she had hired me and I had done my hat thing before Judah Friedlander, she would have been on for 5 or 6 seasons like 30 Rock, but she didn't. No hard feelings, Lisa Kudrow. Congratulations on all your success. Enjoy your cash. Okay, the next list is the movies, the top 10 movies of the year. These are critical, not box office. If you want to hear a rundown of the box office movies, listen to the final Film Pigs podcast of the year. That'll be coming out probably around Christmas, where me and Steve and Steve, the other pigs, we do a rundown of the top 20 box office movies of the year and weigh in on whether we thought they were good or not. So EW's picks for best movies of the year. Number one, Whiplash. My friend Steve Falk loves this movie. I usually agree with him. And I love J.K. Simmons, so I do want to see it. I have not seen it. But I do look forward to seeing it, so I'm sure EW is right on that one. The Film Pigs did do a parody of it. If you're interested, a few web series on Geek Nation episodes ago, we did a joke on it with a special guest, Andrew Donnelly. So check that out. It's very funny. Boyhood is number two. That's a Richard Linklater movie where he shot over 12 years with the same boy as he was growing up. I have not seen it. It's 3 hours long. I don't like 3 hour movies. Although the gimmick is certainly interesting, if I receive a screener for it, I will certainly look at it. Number three, The Grand Budapest Hotel. This is a Wes Anderson film. I don't do Wes Anderson films, but I'm sure it's wonderful if you like Wes Anderson films. Number four, Life Itself. This is a documentary about Roger Ebert. People love Roger Ebert. I never cared for Roger Ebert's criticisms, but people loved him, and I didn't. And I don't have an interest in seeing a documentary about his life, although, you know, he certainly had a great impact, and perhaps it would be interesting. So, you know, again, if I get a screener, it'll probably only sit on my shelf for 4 or 5 years before I look at it, mostly out of guilt. Number five, Selma. It's a biopic or biopic. I don't know. Biopic sounds like myopic, but bio. I don't know. Whatever. It's a biographical movie show. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I can't weigh in on that. Number six, the Guardians of the Galaxy, which, by the way, is the number one grossing movie of the year, at least at the time of this recording. I loved it. I was really surprised at how much I loved it. I expected to be somewhat amused. I'm a big James Gunn fan, but I didn't know how much he could do with a big studio property, how you know, shackled he might be. But I thought he did. I don't know how many of those waters he was navigating while he was making that, but I thought he made a great movie, and it's really better than any other Marvel movies because it's got a certain heart to it that I think most of them don't have. And it certainly goes all out with the sense of humor, which I think, you know, with the exception of a couple of Marvel movies, The Avengers, for example, had a good sense of humor. I think they kind of lack enough of a good sense of humor. I mean, I know Spider-Man is supposed to be funny as a character, but those jokes are falling flat these days. But Guardians of the Galaxy, a lot of fun, really genuinely great movie. So that's my feeling there. And number seven, they're saying Gone Girl. I want to see Gone Girl. I just haven't seen it. So I'm sure it's fine. Number eight, Snowpiercer. I love Snowpiercer. Snowpiercer's bananas. It's a bananas movie, about a train in a snowy future. It's gory. It's got good action. I highly recommend it, but it's bananas, and don't get overhyped about it. Cause I think if you get overhyped about Snowpiercer, it could be a little disappointing. Don't get overhyped about it. Go in knowing this is a bananas sci-fi movie, and it's fun. Just take a deep breath. Go along for the ride. You know what I'm saying? Number nine, Birdman. Not seen it. I'm a big Keaton fan. I want to see this, but I haven't run out to see it. And I was wondering, why haven't I run out to see this? And I think it's because of what I know about this story, that it's about a fallen movie star who tries to get his mojo back with a Broadway show. Not that interested in that as a subject, as a story. I'm not that interested in that kind of story. But I still want to see it because, you know, but I have talked to some people who, again, like got hyped up to see this and they saw it and they thought it was really boring. And that's my fear, is that it's one of these Oscar bait intellectual pictures that, is ultimately not as much fun, as a dumber movie is. Or maybe it's not as smart. Like a lot of times those movies, I feel like they're not really as smart as they think they are, and they're taking too much time with their pretension. But I've not seen Birdman. EW loves it, you know, so I'll look at it. Number 10 is another documentary called Jodorowsky's Dune, and it's about a guy who tried to make Dune, and it didn't work out. My friend Steve Skelton saw it. He said it's great. It's bananas. I am looking forward to seeing that documentary. I will look at that, but I haven't seen it. So, so a lot of these movies that EW really likes, I haven't seen because they're not necessarily my thing. I like garbage. Like anything with Marky Mark is good. They also have a worst movie, five worst movies of the list. I'll run these down for you. Nymphomaniac Volumes 1 and 2. This is a Lars von Trier joint. Apparently Lars von Trier just quit drinking and said he's probably going to quit making movies as well because he doesn't know how he'll be interesting while sober. And the thing about Nymphomaniac Volumes 1 and 2, this is the first big movie that he's made since becoming sober. Interesting. EW says it's boring. I don't like anything Lars von Trier has done. I just don't like Lars von Trier movies. I find them unpleasant and pointless. You know, even if you do enjoy watching Willem Dafoe's dork get nailed to a floor by his crazy wife, in a movie like Antichrist, which has a certain shock value to it that's interesting and makes you cringe, but the movie itself getting there, yeah, it's drudgery. It was drudgery. I don't like his movies. So, you know, whatever. Number two, Transformers, Age of Extinction. It's called idiotic, according to Entertainment Weekly. It's an idiotic blockbuster, it made tons of money. It's super dumb, but if you like Transformers movies, there's no reason you wouldn't like this movie as well. It's actually got more action in it than the other ones, and it doesn't get bogged down in the second act listening to John Turturro explain things. It's just Marky Mark running from explosions, and that's fine. I didn't mind it so much. Number three, Let's Be Cops. This is a movie that my son really wanted to see, but he couldn't see it because it was rated R. He thought the trailer was hilarious. So, I don't know. Know your audience. Know the level of humor that you're dealing with. And maybe if you're making a movie called Let's Be Cops, it shouldn't be R-rated. It should be rated G because it's dumb and for children. Number four, Transcendence. This is a sci-fi movie with Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp loves making clunkers. And that's what he's been doing lately. His last like four or five movies have all tanked. And it's not unlike the way Johnny Depp was before the pirate movie. Most of his movies would tank. He made weird choices and, now he's making weird choices again, but now he's super rich. So it doesn't matter as much. So good for you, Johnny Depp. Five is The Monuments Man, which is a George Clooney movie, which I have not seen. It's too bad because I like George Clooney movies. I'll probably see it eventually. It's on my Netflix queue. I'll look at it. Moving on to television. These are the best 10 best shows on television. Transparent. It's an Amazon show with Jeffrey Tambor, who's going through gender transition. I haven't watched that. Rectify, Sundance TV. I don't know. It's a drama about a liberated death row convict bewildered by his freedom. I don't know. That sounds interesting. I don't get the Sundance channel, so forget it. Fargo, FX. I loved it. I thought Fargo was great. Got off to a little bit of a slow start, but by the end, I mean, the last two episodes of that show are fucking killer. I liked Fargo a lot. I auditioned for Fargo, and they gave the part to Colin Hanks, and I loved the show so much, I didn't hate Colin Hanks for taking the part that I wanted. I'm not saying I wouldn't have been good. I think I would have been good in the part. But, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's good. It was a good show. It worked. I enjoyed it quite a bit. And I auditioned for the second season, but they haven't called. Please Like Me. Pivot. It's an Australian comedy. Coming-of-age story. You know, I've come of age and seen so many coming of age stories. I'm past the point of caring that much about people coming of age. What I like is shows. There are few shows, is a new word that I've made up that means the same thing as few, but there's now an R in it. So there are two few shows these days about middle-aged people struggling through that, or the elderly. There are more shows about the elderly these days, but like the struggles of middle-aged people are more fascinating to me at this point than the struggles of kids. And we all relate to kid stuff because we've all been through it, and I'm certainly not above a good coming-of-age story. But I don't spend a lot of time seeking out those things. I seek out things that are more closer to my experience. And, you know, I'd like more shows about that, more shows about marriage. And as opposed to, you know, all romantic stories about meeting cute, but there should be more stories about, marriages and the hurdles of marriages and what it's like to have been married for 20 years. And where do you go from there? What do you do? And, you know, all those things and empty nests and things like that. I find that more interesting. And I think it's, well, one, you get better acting because you have all these actors who are, have been through life. And the more an actor is experienced in life, the more interesting they are to watch. I think that's simple, rather than cute and young. I'm not saying there aren't soulful, young, good-looking people, but the majority of young, good-looking people in TV and film are not that interesting. They're just not. They're too young and beautiful. They haven't been through shit. You gotta, you know... I like to think that people would watch shows that had told good stories, that had people who looked more, you know, interesting rather than cookie cutter handsome. It's not saying I don't like Chris Pratt. I think the guy's great. But you know, you see what I'm saying. I'm talking majority, you know, not individuals. Number five is Louis. You know, the funny thing is I'm a big Louis C.K. fan, and I loved the first several seasons of his show. This new show that, you know, it took a year and a half before he came back to it. I thought the season was a little bit too preachy. There were some great bits, and I did laugh, but the laughter quotient, I thought, dropped quite a bit, and the preachy social issue stuff, which I thought was peppered in nicely in, like, sort of, in, you know, the previous seasons, I thought it sort of took over. And it was a little too much. You know, he got all this critical acclaim for, so did the fat lady, an episode about a large woman who's coming onto him sexually. And I don't know. I just, like, it was so on the nose, and I didn't like it. And then also, like, the story arc of this larger girl, I thought was, I don't know. It made her weak, and like, it was preaching not to make, you know, your judgments about people all about their outer appearance. But then her whole inner life was about her outer appearance. So I don't know. It didn't work for me. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of being preached to. I don't mind. I like to have, you know, in comedy, if you turn around and you suddenly tugging at my heartstrings, I'm all for that. Or if you make me think, I'm all for that. But when it takes over and it's too obvious, you know, what your thesis statement of this episode of this show is, then I'm not into it. That said, I will continue to watch Louis, as long as he keeps making shows, because I do think he's great. The critics love this, and a lot of people love this season, so I may be kind of alone on that, but that's my feeling. And but congratulations, Louis, on all your success. Six, Inside Amy Schumer. I've watched this show. It's very funny. She's very funny. It's good sketches. It's raunchy and fun and up my alley, and I like that show a lot. So, yeah, that's a good one. Seven, Mad Men. I tried to watch that on Netflix. I got, like, 20 episodes in and then just wasn't into it. I'm not into it. Sorry. I get it. I get why people are into it. I certainly love the set design and the time period and all that, but I just, ultimately, it wasn't enough to keep me going past 20 episodes. Number eight, Game of Thrones. That's on HBO. Don't have HBO. Don't need to watch Game of Thrones. I'll just watch my old Blu-ray copies of that Spartacus show. That was a good show. And if I want to see dragons, I'll see Reign of Fire. It's 90 minutes. The Good Wife is number nine. I don't watch that show. No reason. Just, I don't know. Don't watch it. You only have so much time. Number 10, Hannibal. Love Hannibal. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a really dour show. And people take a long time to say stuff, but it doesn't matter. Because the acting is really great, and they're all on the same page as far as the style and the tone, and it, I don't know, it just works for me. And plus, it can be gross. Then there's the 10 best episodes. The True Detective is number one, but it says, no, this isn't the one with the tracking shot. Well, you're wrong there. That was the best episode of True Detective. What are you thinking, Entertainment Weekly? You're just trying to be different, even though you're a corporate entity. That makes no sense. Two, Fargo, The Crocodile's Dilemma. I don't know what episode that was, but I'll bet it was good, because that was a good show. Three, Game of Thrones, The Lion and the Rose. Don't get HBO. Four, Sherlock, The Sign of Three. Only Sherlock could shift from detective thriller to rom-com to deliver one of its strongest outings. Surely, you know, I don't agree. I don't know which one The Sign of Three was. I thought there are only three episodes of Sherlock in a season. I thought the third episode of this new season was great. It was the Sherlock I hoped for. The first two with the rom-com stuff, no thanks. Didn't like it. Was not engaged. I watched Sherlock to watch Sherlock uncover mysteries, not deal in his personal relationships. You keep the personal relationships as your B story. Mysteries your A story. That's how Sherlock should work. I don't like the rom-com stuff. But, you know, the acting on that show with Cumberbatch and the Hobbit guy, good. It's great. It's great stuff, acting-wise. But the first two episodes I thought were dull. Number five, Homeland. There's something else going on. I don't watch Homeland. I don't know. Six, Transparent. I told you I didn't watch that. Seven, Silicon Valley, Optimal Tip-to-Tip Efficiency. Haven't watched that. The Good Wife, All Tapped Out. Don't watch The Good Wife. How to Get Away with Murder. Let's Get to Scooping. Haven't watched that. Ever. Number 10, Orange is the New Black. It was The Change. I don't know what episode that was, but I like Orange is the New Black, so I'm sure it's a good episode. I'm all for that. Music. Here's where this is pointless, but you know, I'm doing it anyway. Cause what the fuck else am I going to do with this? Music. Number one, Saint Vincent by Saint Vincent. Don't know what that is. Number two, Run the Jewels by Run the Jewels 2. I don't know what that is. Perfume Genius, Too Bright. Don't know what that is. Lana Del Rey, Ultraviolence. I feel like I've heard of Lana Del Rey. I don't know what it is, though. Number five, Mac DeMarco, Salad Days. I love salads. Don't know what that is, though. Number six, Flying Lotus. You're dead. See, I don't even know if Flying Lotus is the name of the band or in the album is You're Dead or vice versa. I don't know. I don't know any of this stuff. Ty Segal, a manipulator. Okay. Is he related to Steven Seagal? Oh, no, it's spelled differently. Never mind. I'd listen to him if he was playing a duet album with Steven Seagal. Number eight, Beck, Morning Phase. Oh, okay. Now I know how the order is because I know what Beck is. I saw Beck in concert once. I like Beck. Haven't listened to Morning Phase. Sure, it's great. I always enjoy Beck. Next is FKA Twigs, LP1. Don't know what that is. Eric Church is number 10 with The Outsiders. Don't know what that is. The best singles. Sam Smith, Stay With Me. Don't know what that is. Number two, Beyonce feat Nicki Minaj. Don't know. I kind of know what that is, but I don't know. Flawless is the name of it. I probably heard it. Ariana Grande featuring Iggy Azalea and Big Sean. Problem. Don't know what that is. Jack White, Lazaretto. Oh, I actually know that song. It's a good song. Kendrick Lamar, I. Don't know what that is. Taylor Swift, I know what she is because she gets a lot of press. I don't listen to her music, though. Blank Space is the name of the song. Who knows? Number seven, The War on Drugs, Red Eyes. I don't know what that is. Number eight, Hozier, Take Me to Church. Don't know what that is. Number nine, Likey Lee, No Rest for the Wicked. That sounds like a cliche, huh? No Rest for the Wicked. Schoolboy Q, Man of the Year. You know, I like that Cage the Elephant song. Ain't No Rest for the Wicked. Money Don't Grow on Trees. I like that. It's from a bunch of years ago. Schoolboy Q is number 10 with Man of the Year. Don't know what that is. Okay. Gotten through the music. That was great. Really enjoyed that. Books. Now you get to learn how much I read. Station 11 by Emily St. John Mandel. Didn't read that. Redeployment. Phil K. Clay. Didn't read that. 4th of July Creek. Smith Henderson. Did not read that. The Paying Guest by Sarah Waters. Didn't read that. All the Light We Cannot See, Anthony Doerr. Did not read that. The Bone Clocks, David Mitchell. Didn't read that. Everything I Never Told You, Celeste NG. Didn't read that. We Are Not Ourselves, Matthew Thomas. Didn't read that. Euphoria, Lily King. Didn't read that. The Southern Reach Trilogy, Jeff Vandermeer. Didn't read that. Those are all fiction books. I'm more likely to read nonfiction. So let's look at the best nonfiction. Blood Will Out, Walter Kern. Haven't read that. On Immunity, Eula Biss. Haven't read that. The Secret History of Wonder Woman, Jill Lepore. We'll never read that. 13 Days in September, Lawrence Wright. Didn't read that. Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant, Roz Chast. Did not read that. What If, Randall Monroe. Didn't read that. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, Caitlin Doherty. Didn't read that. The Empathy Exams, Leslie Jameson. Didn't read that. The Short and Tragic Life of Robert Peace, Jeff Hobbs. Didn't read that. The Unspeakable, Megan Dahm. Did not read that. I didn't read any of that shit. So there you have it. That's Entertainment Weekly's best and worst lists from 2014. I've weighed in. You know my opinions about these things now. And you can go on into your holiday season feeling better about yourself, better about the world, better about me, and better about the Toncast. 2014's podcast that is not on a single list of any kind. Toncast.